Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, you can keep emailing questions for the mayor to ask@wbaa.org. We've got the mayor on the line right now. Good afternoon, Mayor.
Hey, Emily, how are you today?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Fine, thank you.
So let's start off with some news that kind of came out yesterday. The Tippecanoe County Health Department issued an order that takes effect starting tomorrow, governing how restaurants and bars and nightclubs will operate for the indefinite future. We don't know how long this will last. And it keeps Indiana's current capacity restrictions in place for those venues, and then adds some additional restrictions, like when places can close, they have to close at midnight now. Talking about how many people can, for example, gather around a dartboard. You have to be actively playing that game. You can't just be standing there. Eliminates bar top service, a couple of other things. I know this is ultimately a health department decision, but did you have any input into this at any point or any feedback to offer the health department about what this would look like?
Well, actually, over last weekend, Dr. Adler sent the order to us. Yes, it was over the weekend. We did not have any discussion. I did not have any discussion with anybody prior to that. I understand that there has been quite a bit of discussion taking place with Purdue University, and obviously the students coming back certainly is driving a lot of the decisions that are being made right now, because there are so many unknowns about the activities that will take place on campus, off campus, out in neighborhoods, how much of that will filter over to the city of Lafayette. And you know, that's, nobody has a crystal ball that can perfectly predict that. So everybody is trying to do everything they can within reason to try to keep those numbers, you know, reasonable. The good news is, in the last 7 days, the positivity rate is actually at 4, which is below the World Health Organization's standard. But with that being said, there is still, with, you know, 40,000 students coming back, there is still a lot of unknowns. So I think, you know, that is driving a lot of that decision. And of course, particularly when it comes to food service and bars and different things like that, we have lots and lots of people going back and forth, you know, between the two communities.
So have you gotten any feedback from Lafayette residents about this in the past 24 hours?
Well, I've got just a little bit there. You know, there's just a couple things to back up just a second.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did talk to Dr. Adler about after the press conference was over, in particular, one thing I brought up was the drive-throughs also having to close at midnight. I did express my concern over that, and I asked him to give that some additional thought. You know, many places are open after midnight. The drive-through, in my experience, have been some of the safest food service options people can have, with you know, people wearing gloves and masks and handing the food out in trays, or your credit card back to you on a tray, and they're wearing gloves. And you know, there's a lot of factories in Lafayette and a lot of businesses that are open 24 hours a day, and their employees leave to go eat lunch or run through a McDonald's or some other place that might have a 24-hour, you know, drive-through. And so I am hoping we can, I spoke to Commissioner Tracy Brown this morning about that a little bit, and he was going to speak with Mayor Dennis. You know, that is something I'm hoping that the health department will look at. I think Dr. Adler, I don't want to put words in his mouth, I felt like he was open to thinking about that, because I also brought up, you know, we got to let them back open up at some time. People serve breakfast to people going to work and things like that. So what's the reopening procedure if they would have to close, and how quickly can they get back open for breakfast service for people that have to be at work at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning? So The drive-through, I do hope they re-look at that. Again, a lot of places, even when it's not COVID, close their, you know, dining rooms at 10 or 11 o'clock, don't even stay open till midnight anyway, but keep their drive-through open later and some throughout the night. So I'm hoping that we can retake a look at that. I think that's a fair concern that people have, and I have got a couple concerns about that in particular, about the drive-throughs having to close and them being such a safe option for people to eat like late at night that work different shifts, early in the morning coming in to work or going home from work at six to, you know, be able to get breakfast or something. So I hope we can relook at that. I've had one phone call and two emails on the closing of bars. I haven't had a chance to call the individual back yet that called about the bars. The other two emails were just they didn't think it was appropriate to have to close like a neighborhood bar. So I'll just have to respond to those later. So a few inquiries, not a ton so far, but my sense of it is, because I share that concern, is that I am going to get quite a bit about the drive-through option and why a drive-through cannot stay open past midnight. So I am hoping that's something we can relook at.
Well, and it is a reminder that people do have different jobs and different schedules, and not everyone is on that 9-to-5 track. And so their food needs are different.
The drive-through is so safe. I got to give the folks credit. I apologize for interrupting you there. I got to give them credit. Everywhere I've went through the drive-through, people have on masks, they have on gloves, they're handing your food to you in a tray, like I said, or your credit card back to you on or in a tray. I mean, I feel like the drive-through is doing and you could have a mask on in your car yourself also while you're getting. I mean, I feel like that is just really one of the safest ways we can be distributing food.
Well, and I think this was touched on yesterday. I think it seems like part of the idea here is kind of a this sounds like an extreme way of putting it, but an all or nothing approach. You know, how do you say, you kind of get into the weeds a little bit. I think if you say these types of restaurants can stay open for this reason, you know, was it just simpler to say this is countywide and this is the stipulation? And this is, you know, it sounds like you've given feedback and then that will be thought about. And so maybe the drive-through, you know, that could change. But it is, but I think that given just the whole universe of dining options and all the different ways that people can get food, you know, I think that maybe the path of least resistance, the simplest thing was to say this applies across the board. So I'm assuming that kind of went into that decision.
That may very well be. But again, I will just say, I think, and I understand that, but I still think I'd like to give it, you know, I hope they give it some additional consideration, because you said it yourself, not everybody does work the standard 9-to-5 shifts, and people have to shop at different times. They have to eat at different times. They take their kids to childcare at different times. They grab breakfast or something to take to work to eat later at different times. And so I do think we have to be sensitive to that, especially since a drive-through is, you know, I don't know that we've ever made the drive-throughs have always been able to operate. I'm not sure. You know, I think that's a very safe way to do it. And we do have to think of, you know, we do have a lot of people that live a lot of different lifestyles.
So because that decision was made to include all of the county in the order, and not just establishments on or near campus, you know, at yesterday's press briefing, both you and Mayor Dennis spoke to how you might handle calls people make, not about what's happening at a bar, but say what's happening at an off-campus gathering. Mayor Dennis made the point that the city of West Lafayette has had to handle student-specific issues in its neighborhoods for a long time, for various reasons. I guess, how does that translate in Lafayette? You know, how have city agencies responded to and handled a big student gathering in Lafayette that a resident might call about for some reason?
Yeah, that doesn't happen a ton over here. I mean, I can say that from even the time I was on the police department myself, that's not, we may get a large party call, but it's not typically Purdue students. I mean, I'm not saying never is it, but on our side, we have a lot more graduate students and PhD students that live over here. In fact, somebody at one time, and I've not verified this, so I want to be, upfront with your listeners, that we actually had more graduate students and PhD students live on the Lafayette side than lived in West Lafayette, certainly not undergraduates. But so, typically with that, it's not, parties and big things like that are not really on their mind. It's more of getting through school, getting those advanced degrees and those types of things. So, we don't have that as much, but if we have a large party, we'll follow all state law and applicable ordinances that we can to enforce what we can. Private property is a very unique situation in this country, so I'm not going to overstate what we can do either. I mean, if somebody doesn't let you in and they keep their doors closed, there's certain federal law and certain Supreme Court decisions that would allow you to make entry into a private home anyway. But, those are pretty limited, and you have to have some pretty good reasons to be able to do that. Most of the time, our officers can talk their way into getting in or dealing with people, but private property situations, I just want to be honest with people. They're unique, and we'll do the best we can, but I'm not going to over promise that somehow we can just take care of each and every one of them the same, because they're different and they were unique.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. We're talking right now with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. So this week, the city also started to put in place a plan to have outdoor seating at downtown Lafayette restaurants, which could help expand seating capacity, keep customers outside, which medical experts say is a safer place to be in terms of COVID-19 transmission. So it looks like the plan is for it to start this month and then go through the start of October. So just describe to us, what is this going to look like, and how did this idea get kickstarted?
Yeah, we want to thank Steve Beltink, and I are good friends, and we talk a lot, and he had talked to some downtown restaurant owners and at East End Grill and the Lafayette Brewing Company, and the three of them kind of brainstormed this idea, and then Steve got a hold of me and said, what do you think if the city's not behind it? Obviously, we can't do it. And I said, no, I'm behind it. I said, we need to figure this out. The restaurants, they need some help. Their industry and the travel industries have been some of the hardest hit. And if we can figure out a way to do this, and, from what happened in Indianapolis, it even helped retailers downtown. I said, let's try to put a group of us together and see if we can make this happen. So that they have been meeting. Dennis Carson has been helping. Cindy Murray has been helping, our city clerk, with me and the stuff that needs to go through the Board of Works and everything. Got the Parks Department bringing all of our picnic tables, the Traffic Improvement Division's bringing all of our Level 3 barricades and our water barricades. And we're getting close to having it all put together. So hopefully, we can get more people downtown in a safe way. A lot of people, restaurants, when you can be at 75% capacity, you actually can't do 75% capacity because you can't socially distance and still get even 75% in there. So what we're hoping is, by extending this out into the street, we'll keep all the social distancing requirements and people will feel more comfortable. So maybe people that would really like to support the restaurants, still not totally comfortable, and you know their outdoor seating may be full when you get there because it has a limit too. Mm-hmm. That the extension of this will give them a chance to be out in the open air and still come down and support those restaurants. So we're going to give it a try. We know there'll probably be a few little tweaks after we get through the first weekend that we'll have to work on, but we are going to do that. We'll just continue to try to make it better and better and see if, you know, if we can help out our downtown businesses.
How do you think it might impact traffic flow on the weekends? You know, how have you thought about that aspect of it?
You know, obviously it's going to impact traffic flow because some of the roads are going to be, you know, completely blocked. But a lot of the traffic flow is for people wanting to come downtown and eat and, mm-hmm. and share some of the other venues. And so what we're hoping for is, you know, that they will understand why we're doing it and that'll actually draw more people. And, you know, people have to park off on the side roads a little bit further. As you know, the parking garage at nights and on weekends is totally free downtown, and we always have ample parking in there. And, you know, you can park in that garage there, and it's still, even if you walked clear to 10th Street or 11th Street, I mean, you're still only walking six blocks, and our blocks aren't that big. So, I mean, it's still really very convenient if people just use the parking garage. And of course, we got more and more people living downtown that can just walk anyway. And so I think the pros outweigh the cons of the traffic flow to help these businesses to get more people downtown. You know, there are some communities that have went to there isn't a street in front of businesses on Main Street. It is all a grass or pedestrian way, and I'm not sure that people here want that, but people, places have found that to be very successful. People like that. They feel safe when the street's blocked off and you're not fighting traffic. So I think it's the pros certainly outweigh the cons, and it's something we have to be willing to try. I mean, we have to try. I think, you know, President Daniels has said it over and over. You know, Purdue has to be willing to try, and I believe that. And I believe as a city, we have to be willing to try new things to help people through this. And there's always going to be people that are skeptical or maybe not happy about it, and I respect that, but we can't be afraid to try, and we'll continue to tweak it and do the best we can. But it's a group effort by a lot of people in the city.
So this week, the Big Ten Conference announced the postponement of fall sports, which obviously includes football. And collegiate football programs, obviously an economic driver for areas in which they're based. Mayor Dennis said last week he was concerned about the possible economic impact of not having Purdue home games. And obviously these postponements could possibly extend into the winter, into the spring. So are you also concerned? You know, what does that impact look like economically in Lafayette?
Yeah, it's there definitely will be an impact. I mean, Purdue football games help fill all of our hotels and our restaurants on those weekends. Those are big economic weekends. There is no doubt, and there is no doubt that we are going to fill the, you know, sometimes on the right Purdue home game, you know, you can't get a hotel room. I mean, they're full, and the restaurants are full. So there is definitely going to be a multiplier effect on the impact those you know, industries are already feeling. So that certainly is a concern. You know, Coach Braun has done such a great job over there, and the team's exciting, and people are supportive, and so, you know, football and basketball both play a big role. Purdue football helps pack in the hotels more than basketball, but you know, they both play a significant role. So yeah, that's another definite hit that we're going to take, and we're going to have to find a way to, you know, work ourselves and help those industries through it.
So I do want to ask about this. So the last time you were on the show, you weren't planning on a mask mandate for Lafayette. We talked all of that out. Mm-hmm. And then very soon after that, the governor mandated it statewide, which is something you said you would, you know, obviously abide by if that happened. And you spoke to this a bit yesterday at the press conference, you know, said that you felt like the mask mandate seemed to be going well in Lafayette to the extent that you could, you know, assess that. I feel like I'm continuing to see what feels like a number of people locally and just more broadly taking issue with this subject and just feeling like they're generally being controlled. COVID is overblown. Let's get back to normal. And a few months back, I was remembering asking at another weekly coronavirus press conference, what would happen if significant shutdowns became necessary again? And officials seem to think that because people had been through it once before, you know, back in the spring, it would be a straightforward process to do that again. People would accept it. Do you still think that would be the case? It's just kind of, I'm just thinking of that today because I do think people are starting to push back a bit more and to want that sense of normalcy and to want for some of this to just be over.
Yeah, that's a very, very long, complicated question that I could probably write a book on. But I will say that, you know, from the mass standpoint, I mean, that's a difficult transition. And I felt like, you know, I felt like the path we were taking here was the right path for the long term compliance with people, where we worked very hard to get people to comply through education and keep pushing that message. Many of the businesses, even before the governor's order, began to get on board. And I think that's always a very, very important process if you want long-term compliance with people on anything, that there is a significant period of education and people reach that conclusion on their own and they get that opportunity. I think you always have a better outcome long term. I think the governor, and I was confident in this, that when we got to a certain point, the governor would make a statewide mandate, which is by far and away the best way to do it, as a county here, a city here. That it's just a recipe for a lot of disillusionment and people upset. Some people are doing it, some people are not. If you drive here, I do it. If you drive here. So I think that was by far and away, and I said I would support that I've supported his decisions all along, going into the different categories, stopping and staying in this category. I have fully supported, and I think especially how many people we have coming from other counties that here, that now that everybody's on the same page. So I think that's well, I think he waited to the right moment. I think most people would agree that it was done at the right time, not too early, not too late. And he gave everybody the chance, as did we, to make that decision before it had to be done. I think people definitely are feeling the anxiety that they want this over with, that this has been going on a long time. It gets more and more uncomfortable, and there still is more and more uncertainty. So I don't know that the transition back to anything would be easy. In fact, my guess is it would not be easy. And, it, you know, this is going to continue to be a difficult situation because it is a huge disruption. There are lots of unknowns. We're getting ready for Purdue to come back. We're getting ready for school to start. That creates general anxiety in people also, as it should. I mean, that's understandable. I've got grandkids in our schools. I've got daughters that are teachers. I'm nervous myself. I think the school should reopen. I think they have to try. I think we have to work through what we can. And then if we get to a point where we can't, then we'll have to jump to all e-learning if that's what's necessary. But we can't. But that uncertainty and being in anybody that's in an organization or in society that's in a period of significant disruption, there's always going to be a lot of anxiety. There's also going to be a lot of people that get angry because of the uncertainty and because of the anxiety. And there's just no simple way through this. We just have to continue to work together, try to do the right thing for each other, make decisions the best we can, ask people to understand, give things a chance. And we'll just keep pushing through till we get to that vaccine. And I believe we will get to a vaccine. I think they're making great progress on that, but it's still a ways out, and we're just going to have to support each other. And you know, mental health is a big factor during this, helping people with not only their physical health, but their mental health, and not only with just getting them through it, but helping them with their needs so they can get through it at a higher level. And we're just all going to have to pull together as a community and as a country to do that.
So the most recent update for Lafayette City Hall access is the city is planning on a fuller reopening to the public starting Monday of next week. Is that still the case?
Yes, except for utility billing. We're okay. Still not going to open utility billing. That the area in there is just so small, and lining people up down the hallway. And we have done a fantastic job assisting people through this whole for months now without actually being open. And so, you know, for us, that would be the most significant point of contact, the most significant area of potential spread in that office. And so I think it's prudent on our part to keep that closed. It's working fine. Open the rest to normal hours. We're getting all the cleaning done. And I've noticed that quite a few people come down here between noon and one to try to do things sometimes on their lunch hours. And so I know that that's been somewhat of a hardship for people. So we want to try to get back to normal hours for most, for everything, but keep utility billing still closed.
And the state moratorium on utility disconnections and evictions is ending tomorrow. There have been multiple extensions on that moratorium throughout the summer, and those have ended. What is the latest you can speak to regarding how many evictions we might be seeing in this area?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I could give you a number on evictions, because you know all those rental properties are all privately owned, so I don't have any way of knowing how many people are behind. But I would say that number probably could be significant. We're hoping that landlords will continue to work with folks. We're going to continue to work with folks when it comes to utilities, as it pertains to delaying shutoffs a little bit longer, but really, you know, working with people to get on payment plans and to give them longer on their payment plans, but also, you know, also telling, letting them know that there are places like the United Way through their the services, some of the money they have, and other places that will help people get caught up on utilities. I've been stressing this. The utility cost is not going to go away, so people need to be planning for that. And some people have done very good. They called in, they've already got on a payment plan, they were proactive, and you know that's really what we're hoping for. Then, unfortunately, we had some folks that just not made contact at all, but we'll have to try to help them work through that.
Mayor, that is our time for today. Thanks so much for being with us. You can find this program.
Okay, thank you, Emily.
Thank you. You can find this program at our website, wbaa.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@wbaa.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.